Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to our deacon, mothers, teaching of everyone in their respective places. Amen. This is the last Sunday of the year. Amen. This year has been what it is. I mentioned this before to everybody, that I would like for us to have a spiritual and healthy diet come 2020. We're still in the process of doing that. Here's what I'm going to say. My goal is to have a healthy church, both spiritually and hopefully physically. Now, probably not everybody will participate, but that's okay. At least it's put out there that I want us to be healthy. Amen. So what you do with it is on your own. But I would like for us to live a healthier life. Amen. Both in our walk with Christ and in our everyday lives, I would like for us to, you know, eat the right food and exercise, amen, and do more with our physical bodies that God has given to us, amen. These bodies are loaned to us. We were bought with a price. So let's take care of what God has given us. Amen. So we'll be sharing some information. And I mean, and we all start off the new year by saying we're going to do right anyway. whether we hold up to what we say we're going to do. So it's just right in line with what you're already going to do. So let us prepare ourselves to be fit to be used by God. Amen. As we go into 2020. Amen. So we have nurses here where we can get our blood pressures checked. Nobody's got to know your business. We can, you know, get checked out. You know, of course you can go see your doctor, but I'm just letting you know, I always have one of the nurses to check my blood pressure when I preach, just to make sure I'm still where I need to be. Amen. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? As someone would say, I ain't saying no names, but it's toward the back of the book. We ain't gonna say no names, but somebody would always say that. And then if you have the same Bible I have, it's on page 1995. That's what y'all. Amen. We there? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's word. Last Sunday, I preached about, kind of taught about, Jesus is real. talked about God in the flesh. You know, I know many times as we walk this Christian journey, you don't have to say it, but I believe that there are times that you may doubt, are we serving a real God? There's times that I know that that comes to your mind, whether you admit it or not. But the but is, I'm going to address that issue this morning. I know we get concerned because other people are serving different religions. They're having different walks. But we want to know, well, what makes ours what God has said that it is? What makes the Bible the Holy Bible? Most people who read the Bible rarely stop to think about the 66 books that compose of sacred scriptures. One of the most remarkable qualities of the Bible is the complete unity of the overall message, despite having many different authors writing over many centuries on hundreds of controversial subjects. The Bible was written over a period of roughly 1,500 years by 40 different authors from their continents and different languages. These people who wrote were either a shepherd, a king, a scholar, a fisherman, a prophet, a military general, a cupbearer, or a priest. They composed their works from the palace, the prison, the wilderness, and place of exile while writing history, laws, poetry, prophecy, and proverbs. Understand what I just said to you. These men were separated by hundreds of years, okay? They didn't all go over into the conference room and sat down and start writing the Bible. Amen? These authors, they address hundreds of controversial topics like marriage and divorce, homosexuality, adultery, parenting, the revelation of God, and not one single story would err or single story of contradiction. I'm talking about the Bible, the Holy Word of God. Not one single contradiction. It would be impossible from a human standpoint to gather the writings of 40 men from the same culture with the same educational background during the same time period and get anything close to unity that is evident in the Bible. The Bible unity is a piece of evidence that proves its divine origin. Look at how, give you a good example. Look at how divided Congress is. Look at all those people in the same room can't even agree on the laws. Matter of fact, they can't even agree on what to do with the president. You should understand that these authors had one person. I'm saying person, but God is a spirit. Had the Spirit of God to tell them what to write. They only utilized God as the one that brought all these authors together to give us the Holy Bible. Look at Congress. Everybody is doing what's right in their own eyes. They're divided. Congress cannot agree on how to deal with situations that are going on today. They're trying to make everybody happy. They were like, well, you want that law passed? Okay, let's go ahead and pass that law. Well, this law contradicts this over here. Well, go ahead and, okay, well, do what you want to do over here then. The Bible is not written like that. The Bible is written, it says what it says, and God is not changing it because the culture is changing. God said, I don't care about no culture. This is my word. This is the way it's going to be. See, the Bible displays a flawless internal consistency. It never contradicts itself of what God said. From Genesis to Revelation, we see man's repeated rebellion against the holy creator. That's what you see in the Bible. You see constantly man wants to go against God. You see that in today's culture. Man constantly wants to go against God. And see, and here's the thing. God made a perfect world. If you don't believe me, look at Genesis 1 and 31. It says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, y'all know how to finish it. It was what? That's when God got done with it. When God was done with it, it was good and it was very good. Now, when man put their hands on it, they contaminated it. They made it a mess. But here's the thing. Mankind has continuously rejected God's authority and sought to decide the truth for themselves. But see, here's the thing. God promised to extend his love, his grace, and his mercy to unworthy people who deserve to be cast into the lake of fire. But God has given us grace and mercy. To be honest with you all, the Bible said we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we all deserve to be thrown into hell. But God being merciful to us, saying that I'm going to sacrifice my son on your behalf. That's love. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a teacher, you know, growing up in, I don't know if this happened to you all, but, you know, everybody in the class failed the test. The teacher just could have just basically put that down and say, hey, everybody failed, it's done. But the teacher, being merciful, gracious to all of us, said, I'm a grade on the curve. Man, you know that was a blessing when that teacher said a grade on the curve. You see, you understand what I'm saying? She gave us another chance, another opportunity. We all failed. We all were done. But she said, I'm a grade on the curve. God blessed us, you all, and we need to appreciate that blessing. After Adam and Eve sinned, God made known his plan of redemption. God said, I got something for that. I understand y'all sin, but guess what? I got something for that. Now, look at this verse, what we just read, 2 Peter chapter 1, 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Y'all know what this is saying? Peter is saying, basically, nobody woke up one day and decided to say, I'm going to write the Bible. Am I right? Think about that for a moment. Nobody woke up in the morning, or whatever day it may have been, or time of day, and said, you know what? I think it'd be good for us to write a Bible. No. Prophecy does not originate by human will. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit moved these men and inspired them to write the Holy Bible. It was not man's desire. Nobody's going to get up and write a book about themselves and condemn themselves to hell. Nobody's going to do that. So Peter is saying that whatever stands in Scripture from God is written by men who were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So listen to this. Every time the devil tries to get you to do something, he always attacks God's word. When Satan came, the first thing he did, when Jesus came, the first thing Satan did was attack the Lord with the word. When Jesus met the devil in the wilderness, the devil's only resource was God's word, and that was the weapon that Satan fears. Satan fears God's word. That's why he always attacked it. Because he knows that if we get a hold to God's word, he understands that we now have power. This is why Satan always wants to attack God's word. Anytime Satan comes to you and gets you to doubt what God's word said, I'm going to say this to you. You have just identified a person who is being used by Satan. Anytime somebody comes to you, what did the serpent do to Eve? Did God not say that? Trying to get you to doubt right there. So what I'm trying to tell you, that if somebody, if you know without a shadow of a doubt what God's word has said, you know it. You read it. You read it. You read it. You read it. And you studied it. It's inside of you. And you know. That's like when I see these Hollywood make these movies about biblical stories. And as soon as I see something that's not in the word, I go, I can't watch this too much. I said, it's not true. Because it's in me, and I know the word of God, and I know, I said, no, that's not how that happened. That's not what the word, and then I go to the word, and I read it, and I'm like, see, I know I'm right. Because it's in me. You can't get me to doubt what God has put in me. So what I'm saying is, and see, here's the thing. I said this, I believe, Wednesday night. When you read God's word, you're making deposits. And when you make deposits, when it comes time for you to make a withdrawal, the Holy Spirit will remind you what was said and will tell you, it's not what God's word says. Doubting God is a goal of the devil. If he can get his foot in the door by making us doubt, the rest of the plan will quickly follow. That's all it takes. Y'all ever talk to a smooth salesman? Man, if they can get you to just go, I've seen some smooth talking people, and I was like, well, got them right there. My point is, if the devil gets you to doubt for a moment, he can conquer the rest of you. Without the foundation of God's word, believers are adrift, and they fall prey to every wind and doctrine and get tossed to and fro. That's what happens to us. That's what happens. Now, these authors, speaking from God, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. First, the authors spoke from God. What the authors have to say is not merely from their own limited perspective. The authors are not the origin of the truth. They speak. They are a channel. They are used as a instrument of God to speak his word. The truth is God. The truth is God. That's what we need to understand. Here's the thing we also need to understand. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, I've said this before, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me tell you something. If you are reading the word of God, and if that word is not correcting you, or somebody is up teaching, that word needs to correct you. It needs to do something to you, because here's what I'm going to say. You're not perfect. We are not perfect. So it needs to be doing something to us. And if it's not doing anything to us, then something is wrong with us. Amen? Because here's the problem that I have. You know, you have all of these people that want, these preachers want to preach about prosperity this, prosperity that. Here's what I'm going to say. The Bible also talks about, it talks about correction. It talks about reproof. It talks about for instruction. They're not teaching any of those things. All they teaching is, you know, if you give, much will be given back to you. That's what they want to preach.
But see, when you read it, when you come in contact with the Word of God, it will tell you how to line your life up. Now, you may not like it, but it is what it is. I had a chiropractor to say to me, she said, don't worry about it. She said, because I was kind of like offline. She said, don't worry about it. If anybody that comes in here, they're going to be offline too. There are some things that we avoid. God breathes his word into human spirits, the writers of the scriptures. So he given them the word. And so the writers of the scriptures was able to write down what God had said. Not anymore, not any less. They wrote exactly what God said. You heard it many times. Man wrote the Bible. Man wrote the Bible. Man wrote the Bible. Yes, man did write the Bible. But it was underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit was there overseeing the job. It's kind of like, you know, when I was on break. I got to say this. When I was on break. And I was looking out the window as they was building Ballpark Village. You know, because this is being recorded, you know. So I was on break, looking out the window when I was at work. And you can see the workers. The workers are doing the job, right? But you saw that there was an overseer over the whole project, making sure that they followed the blueprint exactly how it was designed to be. Amen? They're looking, they're watching, and making sure that they are following it precisely. So there's somebody that's over the project to make sure that they do exactly how it's supposed to be done. They cannot use their own knowledge, their own, because the blueprint is already made. It's already lined out how it's supposed to be. There is no modification. There is no skipping. There is no adding or no taking away. No, it is what it is. Now, what is my point? The point is you have to have an overseer to get something done. If everybody just went out there and said, well, we're going to build Ballpark Village, nobody can construct a building that's going to be on one accord if you don't have somebody that's overseeing. Understand what I'm saying? Everybody's not going to go out there and do the same thing. Someone has to be over the project. Somebody has to be the one who's in charge. The Holy Spirit was in charge of what these men were writing. Again, I'm going to say they were not in a conference room writing the Holy Scriptures. The Scripture does not contradict itself. Even if somebody take a little scripture here and a little scripture there and they want to try to contradict, no. See, you can't do that. It shows your narrow mind. Take the whole Bible and let's go to work. Don't just give me a little scripture here and tell me, now, what you got to say about that? I got a lot to say about that. Let's go back to where we started. Because when you know when you read something, you got to go back to the beginning. Or where we started. You can't just take a little bit here and expect for me to go on that. No, let's see how we got here. Because there is a reason why we got here. And I guarantee you, when you look it up, it'll say sin. That's how we got here. So don't come and give me a little bit of the scriptures and say, now, Pastor, how you going to chew on that? And I'm going to tell you, if you got a moment, let's sit down and let's go back to the beginning. And let's see how we got here. So don't take a little scripture and say, now the Bible contradicts itself. No, it don't. Like people will say, God kills. Why did God say that? Why did God tell his nation to destroy, to kill? There's a reason why. Sin. If sin is, God cannot stand sin. That's why flesh and blood would not enter into heaven. Because this is a sinful body. God can't stand the sight of sin. How many of you can If something stinks, how many of you can tolerate it? No. Y'all gonna deal with that stink. Am I right? It's one of those things called trash can. You're gonna take whatever is stinking, you're gonna deal with it immediately. And you can spray all day long, but the stink is the problem is still there. and when that fragrance die down, that odor is still gonna come up. So you need to get rid of the problem. And what you're gonna do, your nose is gonna tell you right where it is. And where you're gonna go is you're gonna take whatever it is that is causing a problem, you're gonna get rid of it. That's what God did to nations when he ordered to kill, because he knew that what's gonna happen is if this nation continues to rise, generation after generation is gonna continue to come and gonna try to stop my plan, and God is saying, I'm not having that. So God said, I want you to destroy everything that's over there. Because one thing you're not going to do is destroy God's plan. So, the making of the Bible was not left to human skills of communication. The Holy Spirit himself carried the process to completion. Think about this. I want y'all to understand something. I wish I had put a picture up, slip of my mind, but, you know, I know that Brother Moore here can fix a lawnmower. I know he can fix things. I've seen him do it, heard him do it, and that's just, he's more of a mechanic. So what I'm saying is, he can fix that. You want to know why he can fix it? Because man created that. And so since man has created that, because he's a man, he's able to fix what man has created. Y'all see what I'm saying? So he has no problem. You know, there's neighbors. You don't push a lawnmower on the edge of the yard, because Brother Moore gonna come by and get it, and he gonna fix it. And I'm gonna tell you, and it's gonna be his. My point is, I'm trying to get you all to understand, because something was created by man, man is able to fix it. But when something is not created by man, man cannot fix that. The only one that can fix that is God. Understand what I'm saying? Here's where I'm going with that. This Bible, yes, it was written by man, but it was under the direction of the Holy Ghost. What am I saying here? What I'm saying here is that every time we read this Bible, don't we get a new revelation every time? If man had written this Bible, we would have had this all figured out by now. It wouldn't even be worth reading anymore, because we didn't read it all. I know about that. Yeah, I know. But every time we pick this up, don't you find a new revelation every time you read this Bible? I mean, I don't care how many times you go through it, you say, man, I didn't see that the first time. Man, I didn't realize that. I'll be doggone, that's some good stuff. The reason why is because we have to understand this was not written by man. God knows what we need and what he has.